following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance. You should experience lots of explosions with no body parts. Parents should be ready to cover their ears.
They don't appear to be
This is a Look and See audio production, where entertainment is always free.
Time for the Broken Sea Audio Production OTR Swag Cast.
Welcome back to part two of the Swag Cast for a featured show, Cruise of the Pole Parrot. Enjoy!
All aboard for the transcribed premiere production, The Cruise of the Paul Parrot, that thrilling, exciting story of the sea. To refresh your memory with what has happened before, Captain Roy Dalton, who has just received his master's papers, and his good friend George Wainwright, have signed on as skipper and first mate of the whaling ship Paul Parrot, owned by Grange & Sons, an outstanding shipping company of New Bedford, Massachusetts. The ship sails in one day, but in the last couple of days, Dalton and Wainwright have been followed by a mysterious Spaniard named Alteste, an agent for another shipping concern down the wharf a bit. They discovered him yesterday spying on them as they were talking to old man Breckenridge, shipkeeper for Grange & Sons, and Sue, sister of Ezra Grange, one of the ship's owners. At the present time, Dalton and his first mate are searching through the town of New Bedford for Alteste's house.
Boy, mate, I hope we're on the right trail.
Slow me down, George. If we're not, I'll try new trails until I find him. He's up to some devilishness, or he wouldn't have followed us yesterday when we were talking to shipkeeper Breckenridge.
Well, if we don't lay hands on him soon, there's no telling when he'll be lurking around some dark corner, shooting at you like he did on the wharf.
The swab. If I didn't know that the DeSilva Company were fair friends of the Granges, I'd think that he was just operating as their agent to hinder our whaling voyage. But the two companies have always been on pretty good terms, so he must be under his own sail when he sneaks around and spies on us.
Well, I don't know, matey. I've been telling you that I sent more than a whaling cruise on this ship, haven't I? What with young Ezra Grange, one of the owners, shipping along, and what with a good class of seamen signed on, and the good shares in the voyage they're getting, there might easy be some other reason than whaling that might give plenty chance for some lubber to be spying on us.
Ah, stow that, George. You're too blooming suspicious. Anyhow, we'll find out what Alteste's reasons were when we get him hooked.
You're sure you know where he hangs out?
Aye, don't you recall Breckenridge said Gloucester Street?
Avast, this is Gloucester Street, and it's a few squares up the wharf, just as he said.
Let's do some asking at these houses here.
Aye, aye, Roy. You try that big house while I ask at the tavern across the way. They may know of him there.
Be careful now, George. If there's any trouble, call me. What in the...
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. I didn't see you here, mister.
Well, sonny, that's all right. I'll wager you got the worst of that collision. When a big hulk like me sails into a little dory like you, you're apt to be swamped. It's lucky I didn't knock you down, son.
Gee. Say, are you a captain? Your cap'n all looks like you are. Are you really a sea captain?
Why, sure, I'm a captain, son. There's nothing strange about that, is there? In a port so full with captains and seamen of every one of the seven seas as New Bedford.
Well, I've seen captains before, but I've never talked to one.
Well, I don't know that it's such an honor to talk to a captain. But you must be a stranger to the port of New Bedford if you've never gammed with a skipper.
Yes, sir, I am. I just came here today.
I see. Then you wouldn't know what I was about to ask you.
Well, gee, I might. What was it, sir?
I was about to ask if you knew anything of a certain man my mate and I were looking for.
Well, I've been on the street all day, Captain. I might know him.
Where do you live, son? Where's your folks' house?
Well, Oh, please, Mr. Captain, I don't know where I'm going to live.
You don't know? Blow me down, lad. Are you lost?
No, sir. But you see, my folks live on a farm about 50 miles west of here.
Then what are you doing in New Bedford without your folks? Have you... Blow me down. I'll wager you've run away from home. Have you? Answer me, lad. Have you run away from home?
Yes, sir.
Lad, you shouldn't have done that. Think how your folks at home will be worried for you. And this is a hard port, lad. There are many rough seamen here, and it's no place for a boy who knows nothing of the life of the sea and has never been away from his parents.
Oh, but Mr. Captain, I've always wanted to go to sea.
This is no way to go about it. Why didn't you ask your father for permission? He would have let you when you were older, I'll wager.
No, he wouldn't. He said he'd never let me ship on any kind of a craft.
Then he knew best. You should have obeyed him.
But father was a seaman himself a long time ago, and he always told such wonderful yarns about the sea that I've always wanted to follow his life.
Aye, lad, but the sea is a hard master. I wouldn't advise you to follow it. There's lots of danger and little pay, and you're lucky if you come out the winner in the end. Now you take my advice and weigh anchor for home.
Oh, gee.
What's your name, son?
Jonathan Obadiah Robbins, sir.
Well, say, that's a mighty big name to stow on so small a craft.
They usually call me Johnny, sir.
Johnny, eh? Well, I think that's better. Listen, Johnny, you take Captain Dalton's advice and go home to your folks. Why, your poor mother's probably crying her eyes out now, wondering where you are.
I left a note.
Well, that makes little difference. I give you my word, Johnny, you'll be happier if you go home again, and maybe take to the sea later in life. And Captain Dalton's word is sacred to him, so you can depend on what I say.
Did you say you were Captain Dalton, sir?
Yes, Johnny, that's the name.
Well, just a little while ago, I heard two men talking about you right here.
What's that? You heard someone mention my name?
Yes, sir. There were two men right in front of this house, and one of them said something about Captain Dalton being away from the ship, and that this was a good time to do it, whatever they were talking about.
Blow me down. I'm lucky that I ran into you, Johnny. What do these men look like?
Well, I was sitting on that step over there, and one man, the one with a peg leg, I mean.
Peg leg?
Yes, sir.
I wonder... And the other, what did he look like?
The other one was real dark, and he had a mustache.
That was Al Testy. I stake my share on it. What did they do then?
They seemed to be arguing. Then the dark man went down toward the wharf, and the other one hobbled up the street.
There's no time to be lost.
Ahoy, George! Wainwright! Ahoy!
Avast! I'll be right over!
Captain Dalton, can I go down to the waterfront with you?
Johnny, this is likely to be a dangerous business. You'd better stay here.
Oh, but Captain, I helped you trace the man. Listen, I'll go back home if you let me come along.
Well, aye it is then, lad. But keep out of the way if there's any fighting to be done.
Here I am, mate. What news? I've had no luck at all.
George, this is Johnny Robbins. He's put us on the track of that landlubber Al Testy. Johnny, this is Mr. Wainwright, my first officer.
Hello, lad.
I'm glad to know you, Mr. Wainwright.
What's this about picking up Al Testy's track, Captain?
Johnny here has seen and heard two men talking about me. And from his description, one must be Al Testy, and the other...
Which way did they head off?
Towards the wharf. That was some time ago.
Batten down my hatch. There's no time to lose. Let's run for it. Avast. They've let the Foul Parrot slip down the harbor today. She's riding at anchor about a mile down from the wharf.
Aye. We were to go down in boats. And board her tomorrow morning.
That's right, mate. This'll be a fine time for some lubber to board her.
The docks are just ahead, aren't they, Captain Dalton?
Aye, aye, son.
I think I heard a boat. Oarlocks.
I believe you're right. It's the Grange docks.
Somebody's setting out in one of our dories, I'll wager.
Look over there.
There he is. He's getting into the dory. We only have to run across the wharf. Hurry.
Come back to the wharf, or we'll shoot.
Make one move for a gun and we'll fire. We're 2-1.
Come on out of that boat.
All right, don't get excited, signore. I come.
That's the swab, all right.
We thought it would be you, Al Testy. What's your intention in making off at one of Grange's dories?
I did not think Senor Grange would mind if I borrowed the boat to cruise up and down the wharf a moment.
Captain, that's the man I heard talking about you, all right.
Aye, I thought it would be. Al Testy, we've been looking for you.
And here you are, just about to board our ship.
You honor me, senores, by looking for me. But I know nothing about boarding your ship.
We want to know why you've been steering so close to our course the past few days. You followed us in everything we did, and used a gun on me, if you care to recollect.
And we think this is a good time for explanation.
With pleasure, I will. One moment. The little boy. Do I not know him? Why, he's... Let me see.
Hey! Stop! Help!
Now, Captain, use your guns if you will. I have the boy in front of me. And if you shoot, you kill him. I will back up across the wharf. And if you shoot as I go, the boy will be hit.
Let me go. Ouch! You're hurting my arm.
You bill scum. When you let that boy go, we'll shoot. You might as well give up now.
Maybe I won't let go. See, I have a gun too. I hold it over the boy's shoulder. If you follow me, I shoot you. If you shoot back, you kill the boy. Adios, amigos míos.
If we follow him, he'll shoot.
And here we are in the open with no casks or rigging to hide behind. Wait till he ducks behind those crates. Then we'll follow.
There, he's behind the wharf office.
We'll drop on our stomachs and crawl after him.
Look out, there's his hand. Around the building. He's gonna shoot.
Mr. Breckenridge, listen. What's that?
Aye, Sue. There's trouble brewing. Those were pistol shots.
Oh, look out the window. Who's that running this way?
That's that Al Testy fellow, and he's dragging a young lad with him.
Help! Help!
Oh, Mr. Breckenridge, help
that
him.
That I'll do.
Come on, hurry.
Now, which way did they go?
They've disappeared.
Disappeared? Where in the world could Al Testy have taken Johnny? What's going to happen? Will Johnny get away from the Spaniard? Will Captain Dalton catch him? What has Dickon, the peg-leg sailor, to do with all this? Be sure not to miss even one of these exciting adventures on the Cruise of the Paul Parrot. Your Paul Parrot announcer is Dave Ward.
Good evening, dear listeners. I am Barnabas Collins. Please allow me to introduce the next haunting episode of Dark Shadows.
You can relax now, Liz.
You've been down there?
Yes. Everything's in order.
You sure it's all right?
I'll tell you. Everything is fine.
I'm afraid I can't go through with it.
Oh, of course you can, Liz. I'm telling you, don't worry. Now, here. Put this back around your neck.
You want me to give the key to Carolyn now?
No. Not quite like that. Let's go the one better.
What do you mean?
Well, I've thought of an idea. There'll be a grand display of our innocence. You take them down into the basement. You unlock the door. And you take them right into that room.
I wish I knew whom to believe.
Never believe anyone who's good at keeping secrets.
On the one hand, I have my mother telling me things about my father, that he didn't love me or care for me. But then on the other hand, there's Jason, who tells me the exact opposite of that.
Jason is a congenital liar.
I know, but he did know my father better than anyone else, and why would he lie to me?
Out of habit.
Which one of them should I believe?
I don't know, because I wasn't around at the time. I was at school when Paul Stoddard was here, but obviously he lacked certain qualities.
He must have had some good quality. My mother married him.
Well, your mother is not the best judge of men.
Carolyn, maybe she spoke about your father in that way in order to justify her starting the divorce proceedings. It's possible. But somehow I wish she wouldn't go through with it.
Carolyn, she's got to. Otherwise, Paul Stoddard could march right in here and take over. He has certain legal rights, you know. Although I'm sure your mother would fight it in court.
Yes, she does have to protect herself.
All of us.
But if she does get the divorce...
Well, then she'll be free of one menace and fair game for another. Our house guest.
It would be a terrible thing for my mother to have been deserted in the first marriage and been blackmailed into the second. I can't let that happen. I can't. I've got to find out what it is he has over her.
All right. We'll try. Tonight.
I'm glad you're all here together because I have something I want to say to you. I think it's time that everything be brought out into the open.
Well, I'm for that.
We've all been worried and upset about nothing, and I want to put an end to it.
Mother, it's that room in the basement.
You really think that room is the answer to everything?
I think so.
Well, you must admit this. Keeping a room under lock and key for 18 years is bound to invite a certain amount of curiosity.
Doesn't it go beyond that? Don't you think that because of that room, Jason has some mysterious kind of hold on me?
Yes, I do believe that. It has to be proven otherwise.
And you think the answer is going into that room?
I think so.
This is the key.
You think?
Do you want it?
Very much.
Are you prepared to go downstairs?
Yes.
Prepared for anything you might find?
Yes.
Then I'll open the room.
You mean you'd open the door?
I'm going to open it now. That room may never be opened for another 18 years. So I suggest you come with me to find out what's inside.
Well, this is the chance we've been waiting for. Let's go.
You see, I am proving my friendship.
Hi, Jason. We'll see.
Liz, do you want me to open the door?
No. I'll do it.
You can tell it hasn't been used for years. I'm surprised it even worked.
There.
Mother, you don't have to go in there.
No, Carolyn. Your mother will take you in. And she'll show you everything. Before we settle this matter, once and for all.
Your wishes come true. You're in here. And you have my permission to poke in anything you see.
Liz, I know this must be terribly personal to you.
This is what you wanted. And you're having it.
Old clothes.
It's a dusty place. The accumulation of 18 years.
Yeah. 18 years of spiderwebs, too. I wish you weren't here to see this.
You think you're going to find what you're looking for?
I don't know, Mother. I don't know.
Junk. Nothing but junk.
If I may say so, I think this is the most pitiful exhibition I've ever seen.
You are all subjecting this woman to something that she does not deserve.
Jason,
please. No, Jason is right. This time, what we're doing is wrong. Very, very wrong. I apologize, Mother. Very deeply. I'm sorry.
Forgive me, Liz, for this terrible intrusion.
I understand.
Let's go upstairs.
Yes, let's.
Come on,
Mother. No, you go on, Carmen. I think your mother wants to be alone for a moment before we close up this room for all time.
All right. I'll see you upstairs, Mother.
Well, Liz, I think you pulled it off rather nicely.
Yes. I pulled it off.
And I think I've sufficiently demonstrated at least one of the many ways that I can be a protection to you. I doubt that you'll hear another word about this room again.
I hope not.
Well, now we've taken care of the past, I think it's only the future that needs tending. They're together upstairs now, Liz. I think now would be the proper time.
Proper time?
To announce our marriage.
Jason.
You can't back out now, Liz. The wheels are turning. I've taken the chains off you. And I think you know what your obligation is to me.
Yes. Yes, I know.
That was one of the worst, most embarrassing moments of my life. I feel like the worst heel imaginable.
I put her through something she didn't deserve. I caused her so much anguish. You see those old clothes of my father.
Karen, that's the past. It's over. You can't be of any help to your mother that way.
She's right. There has to be another way. Your mother has something she'd like to say. Something that I'm sure you'll all be delighted to hear.
What is it?
Tell them, Liz.
I've decided that I cannot go on living the life I've been leading. I must remake it the best way possible for everyone's happiness. So I want to say, I want you to know.
Well, go on, Liz. Tell them what you're planning.
Jason and I are planning to be married.
My name is Victoria Winters. A full moon, newly risen, continues to climb the early evening sky over Collingwood, as though straining to create a distance between itself and what it sees on the earth below. A ring of silver mist encircles it, and a wind from the sea announces that soon no light will shine at all. But the dark that lies ahead is not the deepest dark to be found this night. And this brief moment of the moon, rising like a single hope, will only make the night more bitter, so that nothing can emerge from the darkness but an even darker despair.
I mustn't give in. I won't forget who I am. I can't.
Thank you.
Think of that. Something else. Think of something else. Concentrate. Think. Anything. I can't think. I've got to get out of here. I can't think. All I can remember is that coffin.
Understand. Why are you so frightened of me? It's I who should be frightened of you. You tried to kill me.
I know what you wanted to do to me. I saw that coffin that Willie made. You wanted to make me like you are.
Only so that we could share eternal happiness?
No.
And you will, you know.
Never.
Isn't it apparent to you by now that you have no choice?
I can't. You want me to be something that I'm not.
You are Josette.
I'm Maggie. Maggie Evans!
I'm afraid I no longer have the patience to discuss it. The only thing I want to hear from you is that in the future you'd be more willing to cooperate.
Don't you see that I can?
I wouldn't advise you to be so quite adamant about this.
I'm trying to be honest with you.
As I am with you. Now, I've brought something for you that I think will help.
No, I don't want it.
Listen to it for just a moment.
I
can't. It will help you.
No.
Don't you realize that it's the only hope you have?
No. I won't listen to it. I'll smash it.
That wouldn't be wise.
Then don't leave it here.
And that is your last and final word?
Yes.
I'm offering you a second chance. I doubt if a third will come. Well, I'm waiting.
All right. Leave it.
And you will allow this to help you pass the time.
I'll try.
You need more than try.
Yes.
Well, and this time, I will see and have methods for you so that you will succeed.
Yes.
Well, I'll send Willie up with some food. Perhaps you can amuse yourself with some music.
Barnabas?
Yes.
As long as I'm not going to be leaving here.
Oh, but we will be leaving. We'll be leaving together.
I mean, as long as I'm not going to be going home again.
But this is your home.
I mean, as long as I won't see my father again.
Forget about him. Forget the past.
I'll try, but...
Yes?
Can I at least let him know that I'm all right?
What are you talking about?
Well, I think that I could cooperate more easily if I didn't have to worry about him.
You actually expect me to let your father know that you're still alive?
No, of course not. But this ring, he gave it to me, and somehow I'd like to get it back to him. I mean, it would be something to remember me by.
Do you think I'm a fool?
I just want you to do this for me.
You're asking me to send your father an absurdly obvious signal that you're still alive in this someplace and that the search will be intensified?
That isn't what I meant.
Really, my dear. Now, the two of us, you are the fool if you really expect me to believe that.
Barnabas, I promised that I would cooperate. I'm accepting your gift.
True acceptance lies in the use of it.
I'll listen to it. I promise I will. Please. See that this ring gets to my father. He could come across it somewhere. It would be like a keepsake.
All right. I'll take the ring and I will see that he gets it.
You will?
Yes. After you finally become my bride.
No! No! Please give it to him now, Barnabas.
Next time, make your plans a little more resourceful.
Please.
Good night, Josette.
Oh, please, Barnabas, please. David, I know that you've done all the studying that I asked you to do, but I really don't like the idea of you going outside. Oh, please, just for a little while. It's already dark, David. I couldn't go out before because I had to study, but now I can't go out because it's dark. When can I go out? Well, will you promise me one thing? What? That you won't go too far from the house? I really don't like the idea of you going outside at all. Please, I will stay very near the house. I promise. Well, I don't mean to frighten you, but you know what's been going on in town lately. Of course. But I'll be okay. I'll be right outside. You've got to promise me that, David, and you've got to mean it. I promise, and I mean it.
They've stopped looking for Maggie Evans, haven't they?
No, not really. Now, you go on outside and play if you want.
All kind of spooky, isn't it?
David!
Well, I'm going. But I hope they find who did it. And I hope they find her, too.
She didn't eat much.
I'm all right.
You will be. At least I hope you will be.
Yes.
The only way.
I know. Willie?
I'm not supposed to talk to you.
I know, but you've been so good to me.
I only do what he tells me.
I know, but you saved my life, Willie. I'm grateful. Very grateful. And just to show you how much, I want to give you something.
What?
This ring.
A ring?
Very beautiful.
You want me to have it?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know if Barnabas would like it if I took it.
You wouldn't have to tell him. And you like beautiful things, Willie. Look, jewels. Diamonds are real diamonds.
Yeah, I can see it.
It's worth a lot of money.
It is?
But you could get a great deal for it.
Good.
Yes. Oh, I want you to have it, Willie. I won't need it anymore, and it reminds me so much of my past that I think I'd be able to forget a lot easier if I didn't have it.
Well, if it'll help you.
It will, it will. Please take it, Willie.
Well, that must be worth a lot. Thank you.
Thank you, Willie. I'm the one that should be grateful.
What are you doing here?
Nothing.
You were told not to come here.
Well, I wasn't doing anything.
This is Mr. Collins' house now.
Oh, I know, and he's my cousin.
And you're still not supposed to be here.
Well, I just want to go up to that little room.
What room?
You know, choose this room.
Oh, you're not going anywhere except out of here.
Just for a minute, please. I told her that I'd come up there.
Huh? I know you think you see spooks here, but you don't. Nobody's here, so you don't come looking for nobody.
I don't care if you believe me or not.
Well, then we've got no arguments. Now, come on, out.
You can't throw me out.
Hey, you just watch me.
Let go of me, or I'll tell my cousin.
You do that.
I'll tell my father.
Good luck.
Just a minute, wait, please. I just want to tell you something.
I don't want to hear it.
I know what you're doing here.
What?
I know what you're doing here. You're my cousin Barnabas.
What are you talking about?
You didn't think I knew, did you?
What do you mean, no? What are we doing?
You're doing something to Josette.
Now, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, I do.
Well, what are we doing to her?
You're trying to pretend that she isn't here. You're trying to make her leave, because you don't want her in this house anymore. That's why you moved the painting upstairs. That's why everything's been changed. But you can't get rid of her. I know you can't. She's still here. I know she is. I've seen her.
You didn't see anyone.
Yes, I did. You can't make me change my mind. And I'll see her again.
You aren't going to see anyone.
Let me go! Let me go! Okay. Put your hands off!
I'll let you go. I'll
tell my Aunt Elizabeth.
And she doesn't want you here either. Now, if you know what group of you, go away, you stay away.
Well, I'll come if I want. You won't stop me.
Go away!
But I gotta get it to you!
I said go away!
But...
Did you hear me? Now you beat it!
Okay then, I won't give it to you.
David, you promised that you wouldn't go far away, and then when I called, you weren't anywhere around.
Well, I couldn't hear you call me.
David, what do I have to do to convince you that it's dangerous?
I'm okay.
You broke your promise.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. And what set you got there?
It's mine.
The ring. Where did you get this?
Nowhere.
David, where did you find it?
I found it on the ground.
David? Got an inscription inside.
Well, I found it. It's mine.
A name or some initials. It's so small, I can't make it out. Who is it?
This is Barnabas.
Oh. Hello. You have to forgive me for asking who it was, but these days I don't like to open the door without knowing who it is. You do understand.
Completely. And a good idea with a madman roaming the countryside.
I'm going up to my bedroom.
Oh, David, wait. I believe I owe you an apology.
What? An apology?
Yes. I had the feeling that Willie was rude to you a while ago. I may have asked for privacy, but I didn't intend it to be enforced so harshly. He mentioned that there'd been a slight scuffle.
David, is that where you were?
Well, I was only there for a few minutes.
You know you've been forbidden to go there unless you were specifically invited.
But I was.
No, you were not.
Yes, I was.
All right, who invited you?
I tell you, you'll only be angry at
me. Ah, the legend of Josette persists, I see.
Well, we'll talk about that later. Now tell me, is that where you got this ring?
Well, I tried to give it back.
May I see it?
You recognize it?
Where did you say you found it?
Out front of the door, I guess. I think it fell out of Willie's pocket.
Out of Willie's pocket?
There's an inscription inside. I was just trying to read it.
Oh, no need. I recognize it, of course. It's an old family piece. I was giving it to Willie to sell along with some other things.
And you said you didn't know whose ring it was.
Dave, but that's just the same as stealing. Well, it's his fault for not letting me give it back. I apologize.
And I accept. But perhaps because Willie is so temperamental, it would be better to steer clear of him.
I'll see to it that he does.
Well, thank you for retrieving the ring. It's really quite valuable. Quite valuable. Lovely, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm very pleased to see you're enjoying it.
Yes.
And I'm also very pleased to see this new spirit of cooperation.
Thank you.
I think you've made the right decision. You're very intelligent to realize that your only real way of escaping is into the character of my sweet and lovely Josette.
I know.
I'm sure you do. Oh, by the way, a very curious thing happened.
What?
Well, I was talking to Miss Winters at the big house a while ago. And by some odd set of circumstances, she had in her hand a ring.
Ring?
A ring with an inscription. Apparently, a young David found it by chance outside, where it had been dropped by my faithful servant, Willie. I believe it belongs to you.
My ring!
I'm sure you're grateful that I have managed to retrieve it. Oh, before, of course, Miss Winters was able to decipher what the inscription was inside.
No!
But since you're so careless, I think it would be better if I kept it in a safe place for you, where no one will find it.
No!
I congratulate you on the improvement in your attempts. But I'm sure you'll realize if I don't offer my sympathies on their lack of success.
My name is Victoria Winters. There has been an announcement at Collingwood, an announcement that has shocked all those who live here and filled them with disbelief. But there is one who will not accept this news and is determined to do something about it.
I see, Frank. Well, when will you be able to see the church? There won't be any... No, there won't be any contest. But I know there won't, because no one has seen Paul Stoddard in all the years he's been away from here. I see. Well, when you do speak to the judge, will you ask him how soon he could push the final decree through? I know I've waited 18 years, but I want it done immediately. Thank you, Frank.
You are in a rush.
Oh, Helen, I didn't know you were there.
You're the picture of the impatient bride.
Don't be facetious.
What's the big rush, Mother? Afraid you'll lose the bridegroom? Somebody might steal him away.
Helen, please don't be rude.
Jason is the ideal person for a honeymoon around the world. He's been everywhere. 10 times, I think he said. It could be a very educational experience.
Why are you doing this to me?
Why are you doing it to yourself? Mother, I can't get it through my head that you're actually going to marry this man. Tell me I'm dreaming. Tell me it's a lie or a joke. But don't tell me it's true.
I'm going to marry Jason McGuire. and there is nothing you or anybody else can do about it.
I'll do something to stop you.
What can you do?
I don't know.
No one seems to realize that I have the right to live my life as I see fit.
Mother, I don't want to interfere with your life. I only want to help you.
Carolyn, I appreciate what you're trying to do, but I am not a woman given to making foolish decisions.
Mother, I'd like nothing more than to see you married. Happy. Whatever it is that will give you a full life. You should have everything you've been deprived of all these years. But why him?
Because he is the man I choose.
Mother, you didn't choose him. He chose you.
That's not so.
He talked and cajoled you into it. He's forcing you to do something you wouldn't do, couldn't do under ordinary circumstances.
I'm doing this at my own free will.
Mother, I know you too well for that. You're doing this for some other reason. A reason I intend to find.
There is no reason. Yesterday you were positive you finally answered down in the basement. Well, you didn't. You just poked around among the dust of 18 years and found nothing.
I can never apologize enough.
You have apologized enough, and I don't want to go on with this argument.
Mother, I simply can't understand what it is about Jason McGuire that makes you want to marry him. I want to know what those endearing qualities are that make you think he's the ideal husband for you and the ideal stepfather for me.
Why do you hate him so?
Because he's sly and deceitful. And he has that ever-present smile on his face. Lyric, smirking smile. It's a mask. But there's something else. Something even more important.
What is it?
I've never seen you display even one ounce of genuine fondness or affection for him. I don't believe you feel anything for him at all.
But you're wrong.
Marriage is a special arrangement for two people who feel very special emotions about each other. Is this true of you?
I don't want to go on with this conversation.
Well, I do. It's become my very favorite subject. There's one answer I'd like to hear from you.
I think I've answered enough questions.
Do you love him? Mother, if you don't answer me, I'll take it to mean that you don't, and that he's forcing you. Do you love him?
Yes, yes, I love him.
I don't believe you.
You've got to believe me. I'm tired of everybody trying to live my own life for me, and I don't see you doing much with your life.
Oh, I'll do something about my life. You can bet on that.
Why should David be doing so poorly in history?
I think he's being consistent with most boys of his age, but he is very good in English and arithmetic.
Well, I wish you'd lean on him just a little bit more in the history department.
Excuse me.
Well, that's all right, kitten. Come in. It's only a meeting of the PTA.
Carolyn, what's the matter? Oh, nothing at all. I was just having the most wonderful chat with the bride-to-be.
Is it safe to assume that she hasn't come to her senses as yet?
I didn't know brides were supposed to have any sense. I'm glad I had that chat with her.
Why, was it enlightening?
No. It was confusing.
What do you mean?
Uncle Roger, she insists that she wants to get married. Wants to get married. And to Jason.
That's too difficult to believe. In all these 18 years, she hasn't mentioned other men or married.
The classic picture of a woman about to make a fool of herself. Suddenly, she can't wait to get married. She may have decided in a moment of desperation, Carolyn. Don't forget that she made the announcement after we had been searching through that basement room. It must have seemed to her as though we were all against her.
all her enemies. And the only one who appeared to be on her side was Jason.
Yeah, that's possible. We certainly did stack the deck against her.
She might change her mind. No, she won't.
How can you be so certain?
Because she used the magical word. She loves him.
Love?
L-O-V-E. Recognize the word, anyone? She told you that. I'm quoting her. I love him. Carolyn, look, whatever we may think of Jason, well, he's not unattractive or without charm. Your mother could very well be infatuated by him. Vicky, I could buy infatuation, maybe, but not marriage. I say he came here with the express purpose of marrying her. It was his plan.
Kitten, we all feel the same way, but there's nothing we can really do about it. Each individual reserves the right to ruin his or her life as quietly or as flamboyantly as he chooses.
I remember that.
I've tried to talk to her, and she's told me to mind my own business.
She told me the same thing, only went one step further. She even made me feel that I'm wasting my life.
Oh, that's not so.
Maybe it is. What have I been doing with my life? You're right, Uncle Roger. The individual does reserve certain privileges. Something about my life. Carolyn, what are you going to do? Mother found love? Well, I'm going to find it, too. Hello? Bob? This is Carolyn Stoddard. Well, I like to surprise people. I've, been thinking about you. Oh, that doesn't come as a surprise to you? I saw you the other day go by on your new motorcycle. Dazzling. I was wondering if the gas tank is full.
I said I'd buy you a drink.
I don't want a drink.
You're going to get one anyway.
I'm not interested in what you want or don't want.
Why don't you just leave me alone?
I said you'd buy.
Two double bourbons, please.
I won't drink.
All right, then, Dolph. You're going to sit here until you tell me what you were up to this afternoon.
What are you talking about?
Well, I was in the bank. Transacting a small piece of business. And what to my wondering eyes do I see but Willie Loomis? Now, I want to know what you were up to.
I was doing something for Mr. Collins.
You expect me to believe that, really?
I don't care whether you believe it or not.
I saw what you were doing. You were in there with another man. And you were obviously either delivering or selling jewelry.
If you knew, why did you ask?
Because, Willie, I want to know what that means.
It means Mr. Collins has some old family jewelry he's selling. The man was a dealer from Boston.
Oh, and Mr. Collins wasn't selling it, really. You were.
I was selling it for him.
Mr. Collins may be a little eccentric, but he's no fool. And that's what he'd have to be to put jewels into your hands, boy.
All right, if you don't believe when you ask him, he'll tell you just what I told you. It's
I
none of your business.
I have no intention of asking Collins anything. But I do have a few things to tell you, Willie. Now, I want you to listen and listen very closely. Now, I don't know whether the news has reached you or not,
the good and glorious news that there are going to be some drastic and far-reaching changes coming.
What do you mean?
Well, it's just that I've decided that I've lived the life of the lonely wanderer long enough.
Now, what does that mean?
Willie, I'm about to trade in my 7-league boots for a pair of slippers. I've decided to get myself married.
Married?
Well, why not?
Well, you never could settle for one woman, and you know it.
That's true. Well, I could settle for marrying only one. Especially if that woman happened to be the charming mistress of Covenant.
You're going to marry Mrs. Stoddard?
She finally persuaded me to say yes.
She'd never marry you.
Why not? I'm a very agreeable man, Willie, in the full flower of my manhood.
And tell me, why would she marry you?
She's not doing it for my money. She's not doing it for my money. That's obvious, isn't it?
All right, what's the deal?
The deal? That's what I'm trying to tell you. All right, now, pay close attention. Listen carefully. The deal is that I will have considerable influence at Cottonwood very soon. Am I making myself clear so far?
I guess so.
Good. Now, here's the rest of the deal. I'm responsible for bringing you to Collingwood, Willie. And it was our understanding that there would be plenty for both of us.
Oh, not any part of that. Not anymore.
As I'm sure you're not. Because you've got a little action going for yourself, haven't you?
No. All I'm doing is working for Mr. Collins.
But I'm not denying that fact. But it's just possible that your work for Mr. Collins may eventually be something that will interest me.
Ah, there's nothing there that would interest you.
A fistful of jewelry. Sold at a local shop, Woody. Are you trying to tell me that wouldn't interest me?
Well, he wants the money for a business to start. Now, that's all there is to it.
We'll see.
I gotta get back.
All right, Woody. You go. But remember, I want a piece of that action.
There's nothing there for you, I keep telling you.
And I wanted you to know, Willie, that when the time is proper, I'll be around to collect.
Look, Jason, why don't you just leave us alone? If you're going to marry Mrs. Stoddard, isn't that enough?
Willie, am I a man lacking in ambition? That amounts to an insult.
Now, you'll have all you want. What do you want with us?
What I want has always depended a great deal on how much I can get, Willie. And if I can get it, I want it. And when I want it, I get it. Remember that.
I come to this sewer when I know all the treetops will swing on.
Girl gets thirsty once in a while. And the girl gets sick to her stomach once in a while, too. Where did you take those treetops to her?
Calm your digestion, though. We were just about to leave. So please stay.
Only if you'll take the smell with you.
Okay. Is that any way to talk to your future stepfather?
Only because there are some words I don't want to use in public.
Well, enjoy yourselves. Oh, and if you ever need a paternal blessing, you'll know where to come.
Man.
Save it, baby. Blow it all now and there's nothing left for nobody else.
For someone stupid, you're pretty smart.
Who needs smart? I got instincts.
Yeah? Well, so have I.
I'm depending on it, baby. I'm depending on it.
Set the date. I haven't heard anything definite from my lawyers.
Maybe you didn't, but I did.
Really, Liz, you should make a greater effort.
You talk to Mr. Garner.
Yes.
And what he had to say to me was most gratifying.
Now, if my arithmetic is correct, a suitable date would be 2 weeks from today.
2 weeks?
Yes, it's a pity we have to wait so long, but it can be helped.
Well, that's hardly enough time. I have things to do.
And I'm sure you'll find time to do. Now, why don't we make the announcement at the first opportunity?
2 weeks? I can't possibly.
Alice?
Please, Jason.
You are sky high.
Your daughter seems to be on an extended celebration in anticipation of the happy event.
I prefer you didn't discuss my daughter with me.
They're going to be married.
That's the way they want it.
Oh, it is, it is. My mother's been pining away with passion day in these long years. And now the story is about to have its own happy ending. Isn't that right, Mother?
Carolyn, I think you should go to your room.
Liz, perhaps Carolyn would be interested in hearing about our decision.
Decision?
Yes, you see, your mother and I have finally decided on a date for the wedding.
Oh? Jason, I hardly think this is the time to bring that up.
The date will be 2 weeks from today.
2 weeks?
Does that surprise you, Carolyn?
Well, it's splendid.
Obviously, you've been celebrating something, and I thought we might as well give you something to celebrate about.
That's right. Did you know that's what we were celebrating? A coming marriage?
Is that what it was?
Well, go on, let's tell them you believe me. Tell them you agree with me. We shouldn't be secret about it.
That's right, Mom. Why be secret?
Carolyn, I told you to go to your room.
You want to come by? You like weddings? Why don't you come?
I think I gotta be out of town that day.
Or I got an even better idea. I love weddings. Especially my own. Why don't we get married, Bud?
Hey!
You and me! You!
Carolyn, that's enough.
How about it, Bud? I want to be a bride. 2 weeks from today. You and me. I'm the bride and you're the groom. Right?
Carolyn, please, be serious.
What makes you think I'm not? Don't forget me. 2 weeks from today. You and me, bride and groom.
Have a good evening and come back again next week. This has been Bill Holwig from West Texas for Broken Sea Audio Productions. www.brokensea.com. Good evening. Good evening. The music for tonight's episode was composed by Brian of Seraphic Panoply and Stevie Farnaby.